Read the Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. For continuity, we'll read 6:25. Matthew 6:25-34. We'll go and we'll finish this chapter. Remember, greatest sermon ever preached in all the world and of all time, and we know that's the case because of who was preaching it, the Lord Jesus. All the words of Christ, if you have a red letter edition, you'll notice the whole page is red. All right, let's read 6:25. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. You'll notice this term, take no thought, four times. Take no thought for your life. We'll understand what that means in a moment. What you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life, or is not your life more than meat or food, and your body more than raiment or clothing? Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, they don't plant seeds, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? That's a critical statement. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Remember, he's speaking to children of the kingdom of Christ. Which of you, by taking thought, there's that term again, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought, that's the third time, for raiment or clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, they don't work, neither do they spin, they don't have little sewing machines. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed or adorned like one of these lilies of the field. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, that's number four, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's what they seek after. But you, children of the kingdom, are not to seek after what the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, there's that term again, your heavenly Father, child of God, knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow or tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day, or this day, is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessings. We thank you for Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you for these powerful words which he preached. And Father, or from the mouth of the very God himself manifested in the flesh, we thank you and pray that you would open them to our hearts and minds and bless each precious soul that's here. We pray for Diana and Yvette who couldn't make it tonight. Providentially, we pray for them and ask for your hand to be upon each. And for all those that were here today, Father, that heard the word of God, I pray that the words of truth would not leave their minds, but that it would bring forth the effect of the Spirit of God upon them. And we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we ask you. Amen. So four times Jesus says, take no thought. He is teaching us that we are not to be worrisome and anxious people. We're not to be full of anxiety about the things that we need for this life. He uses clothing. He uses things that you shall eat. Be not anxious. Take no thought. That's what it means. Take no thought. Don't be anxious about these things. Don't worry about the things that you need for this life. Specifically, he says food and clothing, necessities. Don't be dominated in your mind by those things. Worrying about and seeking after things that your Father in heaven has promised to provide unto you. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of, beloved. Our part is to, yes, go to work. We're not just to sit out there and be lazy. The Apostle Paul told the Thessalonians, if any man doesn't work, neither should he eat. But, beloved, when we do our work, when we're diligent in our business, when we're diligent in our Father's business, and we walk in the things of God, then we trust God for the outcome. Having food and raiment, food and clothing, having enough for us, Paul says to the Philippians, let us therewith be content. But I don't think there's one of us that would be content, and we don't know what it's like to live with one meal in the cupboard. With one meal in the fridge. I think if we were there in our modern times, we would probably get a little antsy. Because we're not used to living like that. But people for ages and ages lived, and God gave them enough. We don't have enough. We have too much. And oftentimes we waste more than what we need. And so, beloved, let us be content. And let us trust God for the things that he provides for us. Great, listen, we fare sumptuously every day. I mean, look what we ate back there. I mean, we had enough food to feed 20 more people. And we took some home. And so our Heavenly Father has been gracious to us. And that's what he says here. He says, don't be anxious about the things that God's promised to provide for you. He says, your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Your Heavenly Father knoweth. This is the sum total and essence of the Christian life, brethren. Is walking by faith and not by sight. Walking by faith, not by faith in faith, but walking by faith in the person of Christ. Walking by faith in our God, trusting the promises and the truths of God. If you want your faith to grow, you want your faith to be strengthened, well, you have to be in the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's not just the first cause of faith when someone's saved. That's continuing faith. We are to grow in faith, grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our faith is to be strengthened, and our faith is going to be strengthened the more of the Word of God is filled into our souls. The more truth that not necessarily that we know, we have to know it, but the more truths of the Word of God that we believe, the more we believe God, brethren, that's the strengthening of our faith. And so, listen, to the lost, those that do not have a Heavenly Father, to those that have nothing but this world and the things of this world, that is who Jesus is speaking of when he said, all these other things is what the Gentiles seek. Gentiles here meaning those that are lost. That's what he's talking about. He says, don't seek the things that the Gentiles seek. Don't live the Christian life in the world, seeking the things that the world seeks. No. Seek first the kingdom of God. And he says, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, he's telling us this is how the Gentiles or the lost live in the world. This should not be you and I, Christian. Listen, people should not look at us in the world, especially the world should not look at us and see, well, they live just like we do. Look, they're Christians, they're believers, but they worry about the same things we worry about. And they're anxious about the same things we're anxious about. Yeah, something's wrong with that picture. That shouldn't be us. They should see someone, or they should see you, beloved of God, as those that trust God. And that as bad as perhaps the circumstances might get, that you say, well, not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. And that we trust his promises. Listen, your care and concern should not be in the things of this life and in this world. Your greatest care and concern should be in seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Trusting that your Heavenly Father and your God will faithfully provide everything that you need. And listen, here's the part where we need to be spiritually aware and understand. Everything that you need is not necessarily everything that you think you need. Because we're going to think we need too much. And God's going to give us enough. And he will provide for us. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, if we believe that promise, we need to lay hold on it. And so, that's the truth of God's word. So seek first the kingdom of God. Let me show you something in Solomon. Go to 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 7. I think this passage can be fulfilled in Solomon's prayer when he became the king. And if you remember his prayer, it's noteworthy in what he prayed for. Most people in the world, if they could wish for something to have, they would ask for what Solomon didn't ask for, but what he got anyway. Now, remember, part of our text is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now look, this is when Solomon became king after David. Those in verse 7. This is Solomon's prayer. 1 Kings 3:7. And now, Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. So he's confessing his inability to God, saying, listen, I'm the king. And he's, in modern terms or in an understandable language, he's saying, I'm scared to death. I'm like a little child. He says, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant, and listen to what he asks for, an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked, and this is what the world would have asked for, riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. The exception being the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when Jesus said, you've heard the wisdom of Solomon, he says, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Jesus said that, so let's make that distinction here. But as far as earthly men born with earthly fathers, men born of women, there was none that came close to Solomon in wisdom. And then, remember, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Solomon sought to honor God. So he sought first that which would honor the Lord. Give me wisdom, Lord, and understanding to discern, to judge, and to be king over this people. Bible says that pleased God. Verse 13. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. And this needs to be a lesson for us when we seek first the kingdom of God. Listen, you might forget to seek certain things in prayer. Earthly things down here. And you might feel bad. But don't feel bad if you miss those things because you were seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. God says, you seek that first, I'll take care of the things that you didn't ask for. Notice, I have given thee that which thou hast not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look at chapter 17, same book. This is the prophet Elijah. He was being fed by ravens. by a nasty old crow. Can you imagine that? A crow bringing you food. He was fed by the ravens by the brook Kidron. Of course, the brook ran dry. And it says in verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called her, and he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, there was a famine in the land, and she didn't have much of anything. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her, that is, Elijah said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Bring me a little piece of bread. Make a piece of bread for me. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. I got a little oil, I got a little bit of flour, and I got my rolling pin, and I'm going to roll it out, and my son and I are going to eat it and die. That's what she says. I'm gathering two sticks, and I might go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. That was all their food. That's all they had left. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go thou, and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Now that took faith in the words of the prophet. That took faith in the God of Israel, the Lord God of Israel, of whom she spoke, and she knew that he was the prophet of God. So here she's faced with giving God the first portion, basically to the prophet. Not only the first portion, but in her mind, the only portion. But she trusted God, because he said, for thus saith the Lord, the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went in and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. So they lived off of that meal and that oil for many days. So, beloved, we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, remember, so we see these examples. We see Solomon. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ when he fed the multitudes. John 6, 27, you don't have to turn there, but he told them, after he fed them, they came to him again. And Jesus said, you seek me not because of the miracle, but that your bellies were full. He says, stop laboring, stop seeking for perishable meat, but seek for that which endures to life eternal. Seek first the kingdom of God. The second part of this says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Remember that the whole message of the Sermon on the Mount was that Jesus was telling the people, you have to have a better righteousness than the scribes and Pharisees. Except your righteousness shall exceed. Unless you have a better righteousness than the scribes and the Pharisees, the hypocritical scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. And so now Jesus is saying, you need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Remember, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the only man to ever live a praiseworthy life in the eyes of God. None of you or me could ever live a life in and of ourselves praiseworthy of God. By praiseworthy, what I mean is that God is never going to speak out of heaven about you or me and say, this is my beloved son, or this is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. He'll never say that about any of us. He said that about his son. Because Jesus lived a praiseworthy life. And by praiseworthy, I mean approved of God in and of himself. And that's why God said that. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness was merited by himself. You hear people in the world today, I've spoken to people recently that believe they can actually earn their own right. They actually earn their ticket to heaven, if you will. I actually think, I talked to somebody just a few days ago, and they're always, their statements are always preceded by the words, well, I think. And I wanted to know, what does God think? But she thinks, I'm a good person. I have a good heart. And the fact of the matter is, the scriptures teach that you're not a good person. And you don't have a good heart. You have a black heart. You have a wicked heart. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so there is not a one of us that could ever merit or earn our own righteousness, or a righteousness that would be praiseworthy of God. That God would look at you when you die and you stand before the great white throne, and God looks at you and says, I think you measure up. It'll never happen. It's not going to happen. Now, Jesus merited his own righteousness. He earned it. None of us could ever come close to that. And listen, we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness for us. Listen, he imputes unto us the righteousness that he earned. See, he earned it. He lived a perfect, sinless life. Then he went to the cross and died, an innocent and just man who had never sinned. He was that lamb without blemish and without spot. He died on that cross. He shed his precious blood. It's called precious because he was a sinless son of man. If he had had one sin, he'd still be in the grave. But he rose again on the third day. And God approved of that sacrifice. That's why in the Old Covenant time period, if we were in the Old Covenant and you and I were bringing our lambs for our family and going to the door of the tabernacle, we better bring the best one we got. And the man was to examine that sacrifice, that bullock, that lamb, that sheep. And if it had any blemishes, any spots, if it was diseased, then we were not to offer that lamb. We were to offer the best one that we got. And because that lamb was a picture of Christ. Now, they weren't saved by that sacrifice in the Old Covenant. They're saved the same way we are. They were saved because of their faith in the Messiah that would come. And their faith was believing that that lamb was a picture of the Christ that would come. They believed in a Savior that would come. We believe in a Savior that did come. But let me just show you about his righteousness. Look at Romans, just one verse, Romans 5:19, just so you understand. So Jesus is saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek the things of the kingdom. Don't seek the things down in this life. Don't be anxious about things down here. Concern yourself with the things of God. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So that's, beloved, where our hearts are to be. The book of Romans 5:19. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Remember, he earned his righteousness. He merited it. 5:19, notice. For as one man's disobedience, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's Adam. So by the obedience of one shall many be made, what's that next word? Righteous. See, his obedience. He obeyed every jot and tittle of the law. He lived a perfect, sinless life. So now that's why when you believe on Jesus Christ to the salvation of your souls, you're imputed his righteousness that he earned is given to you. So now we are to continue as children of God to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to know more about him. And then he says, all these things shall be added unto you. Psalm 34, verse 9. Turn back to the Psalms. Psalm 34, verse 9. So, remember the prayer of Solomon. God says, you seek the things that please me. And Christian, remember that. Seek the things that please God. And God says, I'll give you what you didn't ask for. I mean, listen, there are priorities in praying. And yes, we're to pray for one another. We're to pray for our sick. We're to pray for our brother Kevin. We're so thankful that the Lord answered that prayer. Isn't that great news that the cancer has reduced? That's the hand of God. We're thankful for that. But listen, when there come a time when you pray that you would know more about Christ, you pray that God would reveal more of the love of Christ to you. You pray that God would reveal more of His mercy and of His compassion, of His long-suffering. And you get immersed in prayer like that and you forget to pray for our brother. God says, that's okay, I got it. All these things shall be added unto you. See, our first priority in praying is praying for the things concerning the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. Remember, Jesus is our first love. He told the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation, He says, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. He says, you know why? You've left your first love. Listen, Jesus, this will be our first love, brethren. So now, all these things, 34:9 of the Psalms, oh, fear the Lord, O ye His saints. You see the first priority? Then He says, there is no want or no lack to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Listen, beloved, we need to trust these promises. These are food for the soul. 37:3 of the Psalms. Look at 37:3. The psalmist here says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto Him, or unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Verse 25 of the same psalm, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I think I said that already. Psalm 84, verse 10. All these things shall be added unto you. Psalm 84, and verse 10. Psalm 84, and verse 10. For a day in thy courts... Psalm 84, yes, 10, 11. For then thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. And then finally, Luke chapter 18, verse 29. Luke chapter 18, verse 29. The beloved physician Luke. 18:29. This is after the young rich man came to Jesus and said, good master, what may I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said, why are you calling me good? And you might say, why did Jesus say that? Well, he wasn't disagreeing with him. He was asking him, why are you calling me good? Jesus would have said, you're right, but why do you say that? Because He was good. There's none good but God. He was God manifest in the flesh. So Jesus was discovering what was in this young man. He told him the second table, go and do all these things. And the young man said, I've done all these things from my youth up. Jesus says, well, go sell all that you have and give to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. And he went away. He was very sorrowful because he had great riches. Jesus said to his apostles, children, how hardly will they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And he repeated that. And he exclaimed it to them. And then in verse 27 and 18, he says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all. In other words, to be his servants. And he said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. Now listen, this is the question for you. Are you a child of the kingdom of God? Then the kingdom of God is first. He says, there is no one that will be a servant in my kingdom, verse 30, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Life everlasting. And so, beloved, remember these things. You know, in regarding the things that are down here, I know that when Pharaoh sent Joseph to go and get Jacob, regarding all of our stuff down here, you remember what Pharaoh told Joseph when he told his brethren to go and get your father and all of your brethren and bring them here? He says, and Joseph is a really very prominent type of Christ. He said, regard not your stuff. He said, leave all your stuff and come to Joseph. Come to Christ. Because Joseph was that type of Christ. He says, regard not your stuff. Well, let's finish out verse 34. I thought that was a blessing. Verse 34 of Matthew chapter 6, 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. And how often do we worry about tomorrow? We worry about tomorrow all the time. Listen, it's one of the most besetting sins of children of God is to concern ourselves with things that have not happened. Listen, when they happen in the present, then we will seek the Lord about them. But how often do we even bow in prayer and we complain or we worry or we become anxious about what has never happened and what may never happen? We get so worried about things. And Jesus says, tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. There's enough evil in today. And so this is the day that the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in this day. For if God sends a trial or a difficulty in your life today, well, we'll seek the Lord about that today. But as far as tomorrow, beloved, that's probably, I'll say it's one of my besetting sins. And beloved, we need to not do that. My wife and I, she encourages me all the time. She says, if that hasn't happened, stop worrying about that. And she's right. And so, beloved, that's what we need to do. Seek first the kingdom of God today. Because today is all we have. We don't have tomorrow. And you know what? Most often, by experience, God has proved that what I think never comes to pass. The bad things that I think, it never happens. And if it does, you know what? Remember, God in his providence has assigned it to you or me. So let's trust God for that. Listen, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. They are new every morning. What is God's compassion and God's faithfulness? They are new every morning. God is faithful. And so, beloved, let's trust him for today, and let's not concern ourselves with tomorrow. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Brother Chris, will you dismiss?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to have guests come today, God. We thank you that the word came forth with power, Lord, that you were attached to it, Lord. And we don't trust in men, God. We trust in Christ. Father, we thank you for all the mothers today, Lord. pray that they were blessed, Lord, to spend time with their children. Lord, I lift up those that their mothers have passed and gone, Lord. I pray that you would comfort them today.